For Rabbeinu Zman and learning in Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam, we began Perek Shlishi. The Rambam defines three categories of individuals, of states, of the world itself. And those are Tzaddik, Rasha, and Beinoni. And when we talk about the individual, I think we can say in a general sense that the Rambam here in Perek Gimel is really shifting his theme from the details of the chet and the tshuva from the chet to the focus on the individual and his status. Until now, the Rambam was totally interested in the individual chet and how to rectify it. Now the Rambam is interested in the Adam, shall we call him the Gavra. And as we said before, he's got three categories of individuals. Now, how do we classify these three categories? How do we classify an individual into one of the three? Shall we count up individual chatoim and individual zchuyos, mitzvos, and just it's a mathematical calculation? Or is there some sort of more general and conceptual definition? How do we define the person himself? And I think the Rambam is going to shift to the person because he wants to teach us that tshuva fits into two categories. On the one hand, tshuva impacts on the individual sin. Man faces a challenge, a particular challenge, and in tshuva he overcomes that challenge. But here in Perek Gimel, man is not facing an individual sin and its challenge, but rather he's facing himself. He's looking himself in the mirror and he's trying to define himself. Where is he? What is he? A person from the perspective of the Rambam in Perek Gimel is not like a utensil, and you throw in individual items into the utensil and you count them up as one calculation. And man is just the sum total of his individual acts. That's not what it is. That's not the cheshbon here in Perek Gimel. We're talking about the potential of man, the impact of tshuva on the person to set his goals straight, to choose the right path, to maximize his potential. It's an overall, sometimes you take the car into fix and you tell the mechanic you have this problem, this individual problem, that individual. Sometimes you take it for an overhaul or a general assessment. Here the Rambam is talking about the general assessment. Even though the Rambam's language is avonosov yeseros al zchuyosov, which sounds like on the surface of it, we're talking in the Rambam's context about individual zchuyos versus individual avonos. But since the Rambam is interested in classifying not the chet nor the zchus, but rather the person under one of these three categories we mentioned, therefore the merubim here, the word merubim, which is the majority, is not to be interpreted as a sum total and arithmetic calculation of addition. Let's add up this side of the scorecard and this side of the scorecard. No. And we're going to try to see, as we go through the Rambam, if we can substantiate that the Rambam is looking at the person and changing the person. That transformation of person will impact, of course, on individual sins, but the individual sins and the rectification of those sins, respectively, that's less important in the Rambam than the overhaul of the person, the tikkun hagavra. That's what tshuva is all about. Not the emphasis on individual maisim tovim, or chas v'shalom the opposite, but the person as a whole. And I think we're going to see this through the Rambam, especially in Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, when he speaks about Ein Shoklin Ela B'Daito Shelkel Deos. We as individuals are not able to make the overall assessment of the person, because we don't really have the measuring tools to evaluate individual sins. We may think one sin against one zchuyus and they cancel each other out, but no. One sin might be shakel, might be weighty enough that it could outweigh a myriad of mitzvahs. And on the flip side, one mitzvah is great enough to outweigh all the others, all the averis that he did. The Rambam wants to emphasize that a person should be involved in self-evaluation, not only in terms of the individual actions and sins, but also in terms of where he's going and is he reaching his potential. Almost on a momentary basis, the Rambam is saying that he should address himself, and maybe if he transforms himself, then the individual sins will be disqualified, so to speak, or fall by the wayside. We're not asking mativo shel chet zeh, but mativo shel adam zeh. As the Gemara says in Kiddushin, al menasha ni tzadik, is the question is, shemehira tshuva belibo, and therefore he transformed himself from a rasha to a tzadik. That's what the tshuva perek gimel is all about. And in that sense, the present, the challenge of the moment in terms of tshuva, really encompasses all of man's life in one split moment, in one split second. We're going to evaluate a person not just at the moment of his death, but on an annual basis. One of the questions we're going to have to ask ourselves as we read through the Rambam is, on how many occasions is a person judged by the Ribono Shelom, by the heavenly courts? There seems to be at least a minimum of two, but we want to stretch it and see if we can reach three. Number one, there's Shas HaMisa at the moment of a person's death, but then there's the annual judgment, and we spoke about it last time, on Rosh Hashanah. Is there a third judgment? That's one of the questions that we want to address as we learn through these halachas. The second question we want to ask, as we learn through these halachas, is what's the relationship here between the individual and the Medina and Kol HaOlam Kulo? We're going to try to proceed and analyze the Rambam in the broader perspective of the Mefarshim, and especially with emphasis on the Rishon. And the Rambam writes, Per Gimel Halach Aleph Kol Echad V'Echad Mipnei Adam Yeshlo Zechuyos V'Avonos Mishes Chuyosov Yeseros Al Avonosov Tzadik Mish Avonosov Yeseros Al Chuyosov Rosha Mechza LeMechza Beinoni. So here are the three categories that we spoke about before: the Tzadik, the Rosha, and the Beinoni. Please note that the source for this Rambam in Chazal is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Amid Beis, Tanya Beit Shammai Omrim Sholosh Kitos Hein Liyom Adin. There are three categories for judgment: Achas Shal Tzadikim Gemurim, the Achas Shal Rishonim Gemurim, the Achas Shal Beinonim. Beit Shammai, as quoted in this Bryce in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin, does not specify exactly how you are classified in one of these three ketos. The Rambam expands it a little bit. He also diminishes. On the one hand, the Rambam expands it by telling us that you can evaluate a tzaddik and determine his status by looking at Zchuyosov Yeseros Alavanosov. That's not something that Beit Shammai presents in the Braisa. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to curtail and diminish Beit Shammai, because whereas Beit Shammai says Tzadikim Gemurim, the Rambam only talks about a tzaddik. And I think both of these points are really one and the same. The Rambam doesn't feel compelled to add Tzaddik Gamur because he defines who a Tzaddik is. A Tzaddik is someone, within the context of these three categories, whose avonos are less than his chuyos. His chuyos are greater than his avonos. He's a Tzaddik. There's no room and no reason for the Rambam to add the word Gamur, because the Rambam is clearly contrasting the Tzaddik with the Rasha. The Rambam tells you who is the Tzaddik and who is the Rasha. So whether or not you want to call him a Tzaddik Gomor or just a Tzaddik is irrelevant to the Rambam, because once you define the Tzaddik as someone whose Chiyos are Meruba Salav Anosov, then you know he's a Tzaddik. No need to add the word Gomor. And so too in the case of a Rasha. Now, if that be the case, the tzaddik really spans a great hekef, a great area, and included under this category of a tzaddik could be anyone who's not a Rasha. Rasha also spans a great deal of territory. And there are just myriads of madregos within tzaddik, myriads of madregos and very slight differences as they go up and up, or in the case of Rasha, going down and down. And the Rambam writes in Halacha Beis, and again, we're not finished with Halacha Aleph, but I just want to fast forward for a minute. Adam Shavanosav Merubim Al Zchuyosav Miyad Hu Meis Berisho. And we're going to have to spend a little time on figuring out what the Rambam means by Miyad Hu Meis Berisho. The Ravid is going to be very adamant about this and opposing the Rambam. And we've mentioned this in the past. What I do want to call your attention to is the Rambam takes this case of the Adam and expands it to the Medina with the word V'chein. V'chein Medina Shavonoseha Merubim. So just like in the case of an Adam, whose Avonos of a Merubim is Miyad Hu Meis Berisho, so too in the case of the Medina, is if it's Avonoseha Merubim Miyad Hi Ovedes, just like Miyad Hu Meis Berisho. If on the other hand, the Zchuyos are Merubim, then that's called a tzaddikas, a tzaddikas. It's a medina tzaddikas. And when you think about it, you might suggest the following in terms of the Chiddushi and the Rambam. When you begin to calculate, for example, the case of Medina, you're not focused on the number of tzaddikim in the city versus the number of rishayim, but rather the number of avonos, or again, the severity of the avonos as a qualitative character, but nevertheless, avonos versus chuyos. So the numbers here, in terms of gavre, are irrelevant. I mean, you can have a city that each individual member of the city is evaluated by Rov Avonos versus Rov Zchuyos, but it might be a very close call, 51 to 49. And that's going to determine whether he is a Chote and a Rasha or whether he's a Tzaddik, depending on which is the 51 or which is the 49. The majority here might be very slim. So the individual numbers are irrelevant, says the Rambam. Let's look at the Medina Bechlal. There's some sort of new Chalushem Medina here in Hilchas Tshuva of the Rambam. Or shall we say the Hilchas Din of the Rambam. The judgment is going to be on the Medina. And let's see how many Zchuyos we have in this Medina. How many Avonos we have in this city. You may have more Rishoyim than Tzaddikim, and yet the zchuyos of those few tzaddikim are so great that they outweigh the zchuyos of the Rishoyim, or it could be the opposite. You might have a city that's mostly tzaddikim, because each one of those tzaddikim is 51 to 49, but the Rishoyim have a far heavier load to carry in terms of their avonos, and therefore when we look at the city as a whole, it might be that avonos are yiseros al zchuyos, the avonos are merubim, even though the tzaddikim are merubim al harishayim. The judgment on the Medina is not a judgment on numbers of people in the Medina to see where the majority of the numbers are in the population, but rather numbers are counting zchuyos and counting avonos. The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis says that Masnisin di Avdin le Yom Atava Ubish. Rashi says Ha'osem Mitzvah Davi Rube Schuyos Mesakten Lo Bi Olam Hazeh. The Gemara speaks, again, that's not the most important part for us, but in the Hemshek Hasugya speaks about Tzaddikim Nimshon Bol Mazel Le'ilon Shekulo Omeid B'Makom Tahora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Yisurin Al Tzaddikim Bol Mazel Kedei Sheyirshu Olam Haba. The Marsha embellishes on this point that we may see a situation in which the Tzaddikim are suffering in this world, and that's because their gemul, their reward, is being designated for the next world. And let me quote to you the language of the Ritva, and this is the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin. The Ritva says, Midasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ligmol al mu'atim bi'olam hazeh. And that might be based on the Gemara Kiddushin, that even though, let's say, the Rishoyim are mu'atim, mu'atim meaning their zchuyos are limited, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay them up in this world. And then you have the Merubim, that's the Tzaddikim, have a great deal of zchuyos, and yet, Yisharu lekabel gmul b'olam haba. Their gmul is exclusively designated for the next world. And this is not only the Ritva, it's also in Rav Sadia Gaon, in the Amunas Videos. And I want to add something else over here. When the Rambam says that if a person is judged because of his avonos merubim, the Rambam says, and this is in Halacha Beis, Adam shavonosav merubim al zchuyosav miyad hu meis berisho, he immediately dies. And, of course, this is going to incur the objection of the Ravid. The Ravid says, Omar Avram, lo kamoshu sover, kshamu b'rash shonet tezayim beis rishoyim nechtomim li'altu l'misa shemiyad mesim. The Rambam writes that miyad hu meis berisho, says the Ravid, ain't okay, ki yesh rishoyim chayim harbin, there are many Rishon that are healthy, walking around on 2 feet, this we discussed the other day. That they will die prematurely. Not that they will die immediately. We're not going to zap them on the spot. Imagine if all the Rishon would be zapped on the spot. Then we could really say that the streets would be lined with corpses. You got to really call the Chevra Kadisha to work overtime. In any event, on Monday we mentioned that there are three reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Marech Panim Rishoyim Bolam Hazeh. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient and delays the immediate death of the Rasha, even though he's been condemned to die. And Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, Shari Gimel, gives us three explanations. Hashem is waiting for the Rasha to do Tshuva. Or perhaps the Rasha implemented a great deed, which is very weighty, and he deserves a lot of schar. So even though he's a Rasha, we're going to reward him by giving him long life. And finally, the third explanation of Rabbeinu Yonah is Shema Yetzim Mehen Banim Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees down the line that from these Rishonim will come Tzadikim. And Rabbeinu Yonah therefore is protected against the slings and arrows of the Ravid here. Namely, why is it that we see that Yesh Rishonim Chaim Harbe, but instead of taking the approach of the Ravid, which certainly is not the approach of the Rambam, clearly, that the Chasima here is to cut down the longevity, the amount of years he'll live, perhaps we could suggest something that would even fit into the Rambam. Again, it's a bit of a stretch, but maybe we could take this Rabbeinu Yonah and integrate it into the Rambam, and say that the Rambam, when he says Miyadu Meis Berisho, means that that's what the verdict and the condemnation should be. The Rambam's not saying that befall he's going to die, because there may be any reasons to stave off his punishment. In any event, what I wanted to mention to you, and I think this is an important point, is that when the Rambam says Miyadu Meis Berisho, and later on in the next line he says Medina Shavonosemaru Miyad Hi Ovedes, the same language, and the Rambam at every stage quotes a pasuk to substantiate his formulation, we could say that the Rambam here is talking about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. But that's very difficult, because the Rambam is quoting Pesukim. And not only that, the Rambam is going to introduce the judgment of Rosh Hashanah much later on. Let's look at the Rambam. If we fast forward to the middle of Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, Kishem sheshokan avonos adam uzchiyosa b'shas misaso kach b'chol shana b'shana shokan avonos kol echad v'yachad b'yolom gam and it would seem at the surface level reading of this Rambam, he's talking about two occasions of din, of judgment. One is Bishas Misoso, on an annual basis once a year, and in addition on Rosh Hashanah, and in addition Bishas Misa. However, here in Halacha Beis, although it's clear the Rambam is not referring to Rosh Hashanah, because that he's only going to present in Halacha Gimel with the Kishem, but is it correct to assume by process of elimination that the Rambam in Halacha Beis is referring to Shas Misa? And I saw in the Mefarshim that's, and they're collected here in various commentaries on the Rambam, that they would insist that the Rambam derives from Psukim a third category of din, a third occasion of din. Again, we're not talking neither about the din of Olam Abba, which was formulated by the Lechem Mishnah, as we saw earlier, nor about the din of Rosh Hashanah. But rather, there's a certain shikul, a certain evaluation of the person at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to mete out the condemnation, the punishment of a person. So there was a gzera. And the gzera is the verdict on high that this fellow is a Rasha and he should die. And now, let's say a week, a year, or two later, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes around to implement this punishment, for example, let's say the decree was that this man is a Rasha, he's condemned to death, that's how severe of a Rasha he is, And between the time of the issuing of the decree and the implementation thereof, meaning before the punishment is meted out and the man will die, in that case the Gzara Din Mavis, there's another shoklin, another shikul, another weighing or evaluating of the person. And perhaps we could say that that shikul, that din, that judgment, is the judgment of those various factors which, according to Rav Eliyahu and Shari Tshuva, could postpone the punishment. So there's one judgment in which man is condemned if he's a Rasha, and there's another judgment at the time of implementation of that judgment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to make another decision based on that new shikul, and who knows what other factors might come to play. But if the Rambam here in Halacha Beis is telling me that Avonos of Merubin is Miyadu Meis Berisho, this could be a very harsh statement of the Rambam. Because if the Rambam is addressing this unique kind of judgment, divine judgment, which is a shekel that's taken right before the implementation of the din of the strict justice to the Rasha, then the Rambam is saying an unbelievable chiddush, and that is that even though there are many factors that could play in here to encourage a stay of judgment, postpone the judgment, or shall I say, I'm sorry, not to postpone the judgment, but I mean a stay of punishment, postpone the punishment because maybe he'll do tshuva, or maybe he has these chuyot, or maybe he'll have children, grandchildren, whatever it might be. All those shikulim that play in to postpone and push us to postpone the implementation of the punishment are going to be subjected to careful investigation at the time of this shikul, at the time of this judgment, at the moment of the implementation of the verdict that came earlier to condemn this criminal. Now there's going to be an evaluation of whether or not there are justified reasons to indeed postpone the implementation of judgment. And if you'll grant me the poetic license that the Rambam here in Halacha Beis is addressing the case where the decision and the heavenly verdict was to condemn this individual as a Rasha to die, then what the Rambam is saying here, that Avonos of Merubin al-Schus Miyad Hu Mes Berisho, there's going to be a process of judgment which is going to counter all those factors or reasons that might lead us to want to postpone the implementation of Misa. Again, we're talking about a case where the verdict and the condemnation was the most severe of all, and the death sentence was signed and sealed. Now, when we come to implement that death sentence, then we reopen, examine the books, and decide if really, in truth, there is any reason to give this person a stay of punishment, and all the reasons we gave for a stay of punishment, should we grant that to him? And the Rambam says at this moment in time when we're about to implement the death penalty, again in a heavenly court, and we re-examine and re-evaluate the man to judge him if he's Avonos of Merubin al-Schios, which again is not mathematical and arithmetic, but it's qualitative. And we come to the conclusion that, you know what, buddy, he has not pulled himself together. There was no significant enough improvement that should justify staving off judgment even longer. Punishment, I should say. Even longer is therefore Miyadu Mes Berisho. He is going to die immediately. I mean, this would really answer the Ravitz Kasha about, you know, the Rishayim are walking around all fours. The answer is these Rishayim have not been subjected to the litigation or the prosecution of the Beis Din. Let me try again to clarify that point. There are two moments in time. There's one moment in time where the judgment was handed down, the verdict was to condemn this criminal to death. And now at the moment, let's say a month later, a year later, whenever it is that we come to implement that death penalty, we can again reevaluate him. And if he's still holding in that same spot, it's still a case of Amanosa Merubin Al-Schios, then in Echidami, we're going to remove from him any possibility of postponing his death, the implementation of the decree. So we have now a tremendous punishment that we're meeting out to this individual who is already condemned to death. We're now going to punish him by death, and we're going to rob him of any possibility of staving off punishment. And if that be the case, the Ravitz Kasha is no Kasha, because it's true. The Rabbah would admit that after the first round in which the judgment in the heavenly court was that this person, this individual, is a Rasha and should therefore deserve death. There's going to be, and so the Ravid asks, so Miyadu Mesperisha, why are these Rishon walking around at 2 feet? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to facilitate a second judgment of this individual. And in the interim between the first judgment in which he was condemned to death and the second judgment, there's going to be a re-examination of the books. And lo and behold, we may find that this criminal should not be put to death. That there are any number of shikulim, of any number of logical reasons why we should postpone the implementation of the death penalty instead of doing it immediately, rashly and quickly. Pachas kamayim. And all that is going to answer the Ravitz question. Why are these Rishon walking around at 2 feet? It's because God has reasons to stave or to postpone the implementation of the death penalty. But now time has passed, and Hashem in the heavenly court is ready to hand down the final verdict. And lo and behold, this criminal, quite tragically, is holding today exactly where he held a year or two ago when he was indeed condemned to death. That's what the Rambam means by Avonos of Merubin Al-Schuyos. In this second round, it's Avonos Merubin Al-Schuyos, and therefore Miyadu Mes Berisho, Taki's going to die immediately. Why? Because all the reasons that were given by the defense to on his behalf to stave off punishment, all those reasons come to a termination when Hashem sees that, you know what, he hasn't changed. He's still Avonosa Merubin Al-Cheto. Now we're going to put him to death. And perhaps we could suggest that the same structure, the same sequence will apply to the Medina, namely that Avanosel Merubin here in the Rambam, Yadi Ovedes, is not a reference to the first evaluation of the Bezin Shel Mala, but rather to the moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to implement that Gzera of Ivadon, of the destruction of the Medina. And at that point, the defense is saying, well, but there are all sorts of reasons why we should give postponement, and Hashem it now reconfirms and affirms what he said in the first round, that it's still Avonosel Merubim, and none of the three reasons will kick in anymore. And certainly not the first of the three reasons, namely that we should wait for the members, the citizens of this Medina to tshuva. No, we waited and look what happened. They're still in the same spot. They're still Rishayim Avonosel Merubim. And if you'll tell me that they have some sort of schus, that's great. The Rambam would argue that, okay, that great individual schus that they have, these Rishonim, that could carry them on for a while, but now we're ready for the implementation of the condemnation. As far as the third explanation is concerned, that perhaps they'll have children and grandchildren who are good, once again, we're going to say in the Rambam, Miyadi Ovedes, that Hashem at this point has lost all his patience, all his arichas af, and he's not going to postpone the judgment anymore. He postponed it long enough, And in this new din, this new evaluation, they failed miserably. It's again a Medina Sharafonasem Merubim. And basically the conclusion of this presentation is that there are three occasions of judgment, not just two. And somewhere in between Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis, by implication, not explicitly, but the Rambam implies a second category of judgment, not the judgment of where this person should be in terms of Olam Hazeh, Olam Habah, but in terms of the judgment that he should die in this world. Here, there's going to be a separate judgment at the moment of Misa, when he's about to die, in which he's evaluated again, and if he hasn't succeeded any more than he did in the first round, Miyad Meis Barisho, he will immediately die. So this is the shikul and the judgment of Shas Bitsua Hadin Bitsua HaOnesh, the implementation of the punishment. Now we've already mentioned the Lecha Mishnah that Miyad Hu Mes Berisho, according to the Rambam, is a reference to Olam Haba. And that's the Lecha Mishnah here in Halacha Beis. We'll just read his language. V'nira de kavanas rabbeinu b'mesha omar kan meis berisha rotzolomim misa asa olam haba. And therefore, at the judgment of a person, at the time of a person's death, he's no longer going to live in this world. Will he enter into the world to come? That's what the Rambam means when he says miyadu mes berisha, he's mes even la olam haba. However, I want to turn back to the Lecha Mishnah in Halacha Aleph. This we didn't see. When the Rambam speaks about Kol Echad V'Echad Mibnei Adam, Yesh Lo Zechuyos V'Avonos, etc., etc., the question is to categorize the person as an individual of one of the three categories. Ikra Advarim, says the Lecha Mishnah, Lefi Mash Rabbeinu Savur, Shebetchilo Nidonim HaYechidim Be'ir, V'Acharkach Donim HaMedina, V'Acharkach HaOlam. Now, this is a little bit strange, because what's the significance of the din on the individual if, in any event, the individual is part of a Medina and he's going to suffer as a result of the condemnation of the Medina? Meaning, let's assume that a person in the Rambam's frame of reference was defined and classified as a tzaddik, but what about a scenario in which the Medina was judged to be Rishayim? What's going to happen to the Tzaddikim, who were judged as individuals as Tzaddikim? And here the Lecha Mishnah points out that at the time of the Mabul, he says that the Tzaddikim were saved, Noach and his family. So that even if the Medina is condemned to destruction, or to use the Rambam's language, miyad hi ovedes, the tzaddikim will be spared. And he gives the example of Sdom. I mean, the example Noach that I gave before is when we get to the Olam. Now, I want to read to you part of this Lecha Mishnah that I found very interesting, and I hope I have it here. He says that im nimtzus chiyosem merubim yavon asay tzedekes v'yein machrim v'nos l'kosh baruch hu nivra rishoyim, if the state, the Medina or the city, was judged as tzedekes, the city will be spared, it will not be destroyed, but he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the rishoyim, each one individually. And then after the judgment on the Medina as an individual, independent entity, Chozu v'sholkan avonos uschuyos kol amedina shu kol olam kulo. And in such a case, if the world is judged, the world as a whole is judged as avonoseim merubim ischuyoseim, is then az nechrav kol olam kulo. The entire world is destroyed. Even those medinos within the world that has chiyosel merubim avonos, The Eino Nitzel Me'em Ela Tzadikim Bilvad. So here the Lechem Mishnah implies a Chakir Yesh Lachkar. He says, just like we said that if the Medina is condemned, at least the Tzadikim, in their individual judgment, they've been classified as Tzadikim, will be spared. What would you say when the entire world is condemned? Shall we spare the Medinos? And his answer is no. The Rambam would maintain that even the Medinos that were judged as Tzadikos will now lose it because they're swallowed up in the overall universal judgment of the entire world. At the same time, we said that individual Tzadikim will be spared, and that we saw in the Noach Ubanov. But in the relationship between the Olam and the Medinos, even those Medinos that are Zechu Yosem Merubim, they will be destroyed with the judgment on the entire world. Then the Lech Mishnah flips it the other way. What happens if the world is judged favorably as Zechu Yosem Merubim? Then even those states, those Medinos that were judged for condemnation because they were Avonosei Merubin, they will be spared. Just like the Tzaddik is spared when the Medina is judged as Rishayim, so too the Medinos will be spared if the Olam is judged favorably. Okay, there are a lot of complex scenarios here that the Lechem Mishnah is addressing, but be that as it may, the bottom line in the Lechem Mishnah's perspective is that the Medinos lose their status and are swallowed up in the overall universal judgment of mankind, of the Olam. But that seems to be problematic, because if that be the case, then what was the purpose of judging the Medinos to begin with? If the Medina is tzadekes and the world is condemned, the Medinos will be destroyed together with the world despite their status as tzadekes. And if on the other hand the Medinos are Rishayim, if the world as a whole came out victorious in judgment, then even the Medinos that are individual Medinos that are Rishayim will come out, will be spared. So what was the whole point, the exercise of futility of judging the Medinos? Yesh lomar, dahanilon, kishayia kola olam, chetzio zakoi v'chetzio chayef. Here the Lech Mishnah pulls a very fast, sharp move. And he says, what happens if the world cannot be judged one way or the other? It's absolutely 50-50. Then each Medina will be judged on its own. Then he gives a second answer, Inami, Afilu ha'olam sherubo avonos mischosav skosav avonos v'chol gavna medina shavonosel merubin nechreves v'shei zichu yosem merubin nitzelis. Now he offers a backtrack of what he said before, and he offers the possibility that despite the judgment one way or the other of the olam, the Medina has its right to its judgment, or it could work against the Medina if the world was judged favorably to be spared, but the Medina lost its rights to exist. It'll be destroyed. V'im tomer, so now we're in a problem. We're back in the loop because in kemaya hani le shikul shakol olam kulo. If the judgment on the Medinos is the final word for the Medinos individually, then why do we need a shikul, a judgment on the entire world? Yeshlomo da hani lon. You can almost anticipate the mathematics here of the Lechem Mishnah. Now we have the Medina that's Chetzio and Chetzio, that's Al Mechzo. In such a case, if the Olam is condemned because Avonosa Merubin, then even the Medinos will be destroyed. They cannot be spared if they're in the situation of Mechzo Al Mechzo. So this is some of the calculations of the Lechem Mishnah, quite impressive for its brilliance. Now, when the Rambam says Miyad hi ovedes, so it's very interesting. With regard to the Yochid, Miyad umeis berisho, that's according to the Lecha Mishna Misas Olam Hazeh. Excuse me, Olam Abba. Should we, and Lechora, we should apply the same yardstick to the case that the Ram brings immediately afterwards about the Medina, that Miad He Ovedes means L'Olam Abba. But I mean, what does that mean? You can't talk about the Medina L'Olam Hazeh L'Olam Abba. You're going to have to add the word Anshei Medina. In other words, there is a choppiness in the Rambam. You know, when he speaks about the individual in Halacha Beis, who's chuyos, who's avonos merub miyad umes, that means he's going to die in this world and in the next world. Whenever he'll die in this world, we don't know, but he's going to be denied entry into the world to come. He has no place. But then he says v'chein, and v'chein usually means an absolute equation. Medina. Miyad he ovedes. So what does that mean? Miyad he ovedes. The whole Medina is going to lose, forfeit its place in Olam Haba. L'chor, what the Ram means in this case is anshe ha-Medina avudim li-Olam Haba. Again, we have to add the word anshe, but at least what we're going to gain is that the Ramam in the V'chein is very consistent, and he's talking about forfeiting a place in the world to come. Now, the Rambam says, Medina Shavanoseh Merubin is Hatzadikim Yosem Medina Nitzolim. In the case, the Lech Mishnah says, where we judge the Medina, we condemn the Medina to be destroyed, the Tzadikim, like in the case of stone, will be saved. In Cain, Ligabianchi Medina Shuv Yotze Shikol Yachid Nidon Lefimaisov Umam Oil Shikol Kol HaMedina. The Rambam is indeed consistent, and the Olam Abba is the issue at stake, even with regard to Medina, as it was in the case of the Yachid, and each individual member of the Medina will lose his status in Olam Abba. This seems to be a completely untenuous position, because it doesn't seem to make sense that the tzaddikim in that Medina will die. I mean, we saw in stone that they don't die. So the Lech Mishnah therefore presents the thesis that even if the state or the city is condemned to death, the tzaddikim therein will be spared. If that be the case, then we have a very interesting question. Why should there be any judgment of the Medina if at the end of the day each individual is going to stand in his own judgment? Well, what's the whole point? You know, if you would say that if the Medina is condemned, then even the tzaddikim would die, lafuki mistom, then okay, then there's a very significant repercussion here to the judgment of the Medina. But if you're going to say, as the Lech Mishnah would have it, that the tzaddikim are spared, and the flip side is true, if the Medina is spared, the individual Rishon will still be judged and punished for their sins, then we're back to square one. The judgment is on the individuals, and what's the point to the Medina? Why should there be any judgment of the Medina, and what do we gain from that? Unless you can insist that the judgment of the Medina is not for this world, I'm sorry, it's not for the next world, but for this world. And Miyadi Ovedes Berisho in the Rambam is a reference to an immediate churban that should be taking place in front of our eyes right after this judgment. Again, we don't know what the occasion is for the judgment of the Medina is. Could be Rosh Hashanah, I don't know. I don't know what exactly when is the Medina judged, but whenever that moment comes around, we're talking about judging the Medina in this world, and that's different than the judgment for the Yachid as an individual case for the world to come. And I think the answer to this question might be that the Medina Ovedes means the city will be destroyed even for those who are Mechtzal Mechtza. Because in the case of Mechtzal Mechtza, we have a Beinoni. So if in the individual judgment is Mechtzal Mechtza, the Rambam doesn't tell us exactly what the punishment will be in the case of Rosh Hashanah and Halacha Gimel. The Rambam spells this out, and he says that the Beinoni is Tolin Lo Ad Yom HaKippurim. What does the Rambam say about the Beinoni as an individual who's being judged not on Rosh Hashanah, but let's say B'Shas Misa, for example, whatever it might be? And the Rambam doesn't seem to spell out, and correct me if I'm wrong, what happens to the Beinoni at this point. So let's assume that the Beinoni is sort of in the balance, so nothing's going to happen, not this way, not that way. But if he's part of a city and the city was condemned to die, he no longer has rights to be spared. Only the tzaddikim will be spared. And that would seem to be the answer to our question as to what the purpose and the accomplishment of the judgment of the Medina is. If anyway, the tzaddikim will be spared and the Rishonim will be condemned, no matter what the final decision is with regard to the Medina. The answer is, if let's say in the individual judgment there's a mechtz al mechtz situation, that person's life is in the balance now, depending upon the ultimate decision on the Medina. And if the Medina is condemned, then the mechtz al mechtz Beinoni will be condemned. Again, I don't see that anybody spells this out, but that should be the logical conclusion according to the principles, the premises of the Lecha Mishnah. Now, according to the Rambam, the din first begins with the Yachid, and then it goes on to the Medina, and Mahani Shikul Kol Yochid Tzadik Nitzal Fim Medinus Rishon Rosh Nifron Farin. That's the Lecha Mishnah says, and we've seen it already. And then we go on to the judgment on Kol Olam Kulo Nitzu Avon Asom Rumuzun Is the Nechrav Kol Olam Kulo and Einam Nitzalim El Tzadikim Bilvad. And the Rambam's quote of the Dor Hamavo. Fine, all that is the Lecha Mishnah. Now, what is going to be the case if the olam is chetzi zakai chetzi chayov? Then the Medina might be destroyed if it is judged as Medina of Rishon. Okay, that we pretty have that down. Now the Rambam says v'shikul zeh. It's not a mathematical calculation, but rather, says the Rambam, Elufi Godlam. And Godlam is a qualitative description. Yesh chushi kinek kam avonos, etc. Says yesh avonshu kinek kam schuyos. Vehu hayodea heich orchen aschuyos kinek avonos. It's all dependent upon the shikul of the das of the Kael Deos, and that's the divine perspective. We have no way of evaluating the quality of averus and zchuyos. Now, strangely enough, at this point, the Rambam, instead of telling us about the scary nature of this judgment and how we have to be very careful, almost on a, as we said, on a continuous basis, moment by moment, that we may be judged and condemned, chas v'shalom, the Rambam wedges in here a different discussion. And that is Toeh al HaMitzvos. Now, where is this called, in Aloch Gimel, Kol misha nichem ala mitzvos sha'asa v'toa al schuyos belibo. Now, in the Frankel Rambam, we don't have the word belibo. That's left out. Let's just double check that for a second. Okay, the Omar Belibo, that's what we have. The Omar Belibo, that's my mistake. Umaho Alti Biasiyason. It was meaningless for me. Halavai Loasisiosam, or the Girsa in the Frankel is Ulai Loasisiosam. I like Halavai a little bit better. Is a reza ibed is cool, they must kill Shum Schus Paolam Shenemar. Ram quotes a pasuk here. From Yecheskel, Tzidkas Atzarek Lo Tatzilenu Biyom Pisho. Ein Ze El Betoe Al Rishonos. And the Rambam here wedges in the whole concept of Toa Al Rishonos. He regrets his mitzvahs. So why is this here in Hilchas Tshuva Dafka? Obviously the answer is because when we're judging a person, this is one of the very important factors that will go into the judgment. But there's an answer here in the Mefarshim that says, "Kshem shal yidei charot al averus u'mevatlo v'nekra meikara kach b'tshuva b'kivin afuch mischarit al asiyas ha-mitzv sha'asa shal yidei charot u'mevatlo v'okron meikara." That to the same extent, there's a concept of charota, which was so central in the first two chapters of Hilchas Tshuva, and that charota is able to be oker the avero. So too, in the case of a mischarid ala mitzvahs, in the opposite way, not that he's mischarid ala averos and avonos, he's mischarid ala mitzvahs, so too, that charot has the power of being mevatel and be oker the mitzvah. That's what we have over here. Now the Rambam says, ukishem Sheshoklin Avonos Ha'odom Uzchiyosa B'shas Misoso. So again, there's a Girsa question here. One Girsa has Ukishem, the Frankel has Kishem. Is Kach B'chol Shana Shana Shoklin Avonos Kol Echad V'yech V'boy Olam Uzchiyosa B'yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. And this is a bit odd that the Rambam here describes Rosh Hashanah as a yontif. I don't know, why does he have to say that? And then the Rambam says, Mishanim tza tzadik nechtam l'chaim, u'mishanim tza rosha nechtam l'misa, ve'abenini tolin lo ad yom ha-kipurim osat shuva nechtam l'chaim, v'im lav nechtam l'misa. Now, if you take a look in the Sefer HaMafteach, first he's medayik from the word kol echad v'yechad and halacha aleph to teach you that ein tzadik baretz, everyone is going to be judged, and even someone that seems to be a tzadik has to be judged because al tam v'atzmacha. And the Rambam, although he leaves out the word tzadik gomur, might be considering a tzadik sheino gomur as a tzadik gomur. It's all one category. And mechtzal mechtzal beinani. We don't find here the question of what to do with this beinani. This we don't have over here. Then we have, let's see, in Halacha Gimel, Ol Echem Yechem Yiboy Ha'olam Ashma Tigam Umos Ha'olam Nidonim B'Rosh Hashanah. That's an unbelievable diuk. And then B'Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Mashma Dein Chiluk Bein Adin B'Rosh Hashanah Adin Shali Acham Misa. And here he tells us to look in the Merkevas HaMishnah. And he doesn't seem to be focused on the fact that the Rambam says Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. Now, with regard to Masa Tshuva, he says that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says Zachu Mashma Delav Dafkal Yidei Tshuva. And there's a long list of Mefarshim here with regard to that. The Rambam seems to take it as referring to Tshuva exclusively. In any event, as far as the Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah is concerned, I found in the Pachad Yitzchak for Yom HaKippurim in Maimer Choftes a discussion about this concept of Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. And here in Maimer Choftes he quotes, just 1 second, a Mishnah in Perek Dalid Mirosh Hashanah Mishnah Aleph, and he says Lo Matzidu B'Mishnah Yontif Shal Yom HaKippur V'Yontif Shal Sukkis. What is this phrase of Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah? So that's a Maimar that I didn't get a chance to go through yet, and we'll try to see Bli Nether if we can, and it might shed a light on this Rambam as well. I don't know. What I would like to point out to you is Gimel Palmim Donim Esa Adam Echad Berosh Hashanah Sheni B'Yom Adin B'Zman Tchias HaMesim V'Shlish B'Yom Yisos HaShal Adam. And this, I believe, is an interesting shita. Not the shita that we presented. This is the Ritva. We present that the third judgment was the judgment after he's been condemned to death. Here, it's the third judgment is Bizman Tchias HaMesin. Now, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is Linyanei Olam Hazeh. Obviously, the judgment at the time of Yom HaMisa is L'Olam Haba. But then again, you have to ask yourself the question, why is it necessary to have a third judgment at the time of Tchias HaMisa? And he says the following. Hinech Shom Roshanu Linyanei Olam Hazeh. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is not relevant to Gan Eden and the afterlife. Shane goes in all of Din El Kisharoy Ligmar Liata Lialta. Vadin Biom Misasa Shaladim Roy Litain Schar O Onish Biolam and Shomas Ligan Eden Oliganim. The Yom HaDin HaGadol Hu Al Schar HaGomur O HaOnish HaGomur Shein Lamala Mimenu Rim Lovo Liguf V'Nefesh B'Yachad Sha'olav Nemar V'Rabim Yishenei Admas Ofar A Pasuk in Daniel. So the Ritva speaks about Yom HaDin HaGadol, which I suspect is what the Ritva refers to, the Yom HaDin Bizman Tchias HaMesin. And it says here, V'adin B'Tchias HaMesin Al HaNefesh V'Haguf B'Yachad. Now what does that mean? So the Sefer HaTshuva in the Be'er Yas Basod on page Resh Pei Vav has a long discussion about this, and it has to be studied. It's very Kabbalistic. But he does quote the Rashba, who says, the Chaim Umisa Dekamar Liolam Abba Kamar. That sounds like the Lecha Mishnah that we saw earlier. The Rambam writes here, Misha Nimtza Tzadik Nechtam L'Chaim, Misha Nimtza Rosh Nechtam L'Misa V'Abeinu Nitolin Lo Ad Yom HaKippurim Im Osa Tshuva. Is Nechtam L'Chaim in Lav Nechtam L'Misa. So the Rambam says about the Beinoni, V'tolim lo ad yom ha-kippurim osa tshuva, etc. The Gemara itself in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis, Shlosha Svarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah, Echad Shel Rishonim Gemurim, V'Echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, V'Echad Shel Beinanim. Tzadikim Gemurim Nichtovim V'Nechtomim Li'Alter L'Chayim. Rishon Gemurim Nichtomim Nichtomim Li'Alter L'Misa. Beinanim Tluyim V'Yom Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippur, Zachu Nechtomu L'Chaim, Lo Zachu Nechtomu L'Misa. That seems to be the source for the Rambam, quite clearly, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tes Zayin. So on both sides, we're almost ready for Halacha Dalet, but we ran out of time. So Bli Neder, next time we'll finish, we'll complete Halacha Gimel. And then we can really spend a lot of time Bli Neder on Halacha Dalet, which is the halacha of shofar and how the Rambam sees a meaning in shofar. Okay, Shkar Gov, thank you so much.